AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip Flory. Davis, the senator, Senator Grassley from Iowa, certainly seems worked up about Prop 12, and a lot of times that's exactly what it takes. We're going to have to take a close look at the bill that's being put forward by Senator Marshall out of Kansas, and who knows, maybe even try to have a conversation with the senator very soon to get the details of that bill that, he is going to be putting forward. Similar bills have been put forward in the past, just haven't had the urgency to tackle it, and the urgency is clearly in place now to get the job done. Okay. Dr. Jim Mintert is the director for Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture, and he is a professor of ag economics there at Purdue. He does a monthly survey of farmers, and the results are included in the Purdue CME Ag Economy Barometer, and he joins us right now. Jim, it's good to talk with you again. How are you?
Very well. Good to talk to you as well, Chip.
Yeah, you know, sometimes doing a survey like this is a lot of fun. Sometimes it makes you kind of cringe. And with the way that the attitudes are changing and how quickly they are changing, this is one of those times where it's here we go. Tell us about the latest reading.
Well, as we talked about last month, sentiment was down quite a bit, and we kind of anticipated that. The magnitude was a little maybe shaky in terms of how sharp of a decline it was. The overall sentiment index, the Ag Economy Barometer, was down 19 points compared to last month. That puts that index 54 points below where it was 2 years ago. And so that kind of tells you the story a little bit there. And if you look under the hood, the index of current conditions and the index of future expectations were both down. Current conditions was down 13 points. Future expectations was down even more. It was down 22 points. And if you think about it, that current condition index is still stronger than it was a year ago. Future expectations is actually a little bit lower. And that actually tells kind of an interesting story, because I think what's going on is, from a cash flow standpoint, from a working capital standpoint, a lot of folks are walking into what's shaping up to be a difficult year here in 2023 with a very strong working capital. And that's being reflected, I think, in the current conditions.
Yeah.
But if you look at the future expectations, that's where people's real concerns are starting to show up. And what you and I've talked about for a while, it's this concern and this risk of a cost price squeeze, and we're right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Dr. Mintert, my read from this month's report is almost like survey respondents were just sort of throwing up their hands. They're exasperated. They're upset. A little bit of gloom and doom showing up here. You've been doing this survey a while. In a situation like this, when the results nosedive month on month, do you tend to see a bit of a recovery, a bounce back, like, well, maybe next month things aren't quite as bad as they seem?
Well, I don't think we've been around long enough that I can make a definitive answer or provide a definitive answer to that one. But, you know, Davis, if you think about what's going on right now, I think this next survey, which we're going to conduct starting next week, we'll be collecting data, is going to be really interesting, because now we've still got relatively soft commodity prices, especially on the crop side, not so much obviously on the cattle, as you guys just mentioned, but weak crop prices. But we're in the throes of a weather market. And so I think that's going to be really interesting to see how that impacts people's perspective. You know, it's we're going to be looking at prices. We're going to be looking out the window at crop conditions. We're going to be looking about, you know, is there any possibility of any rain? So I think it's going to be very interesting not only to look at the numbers for this upcoming survey, but maybe look at some of the comments that people provide at the end of the survey.
Yeah. Jim, is there any significance to the index of future expectations falling below 100?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, it's about talking about falling below the base period, and that financial conditions index is really about falling below that base period. And you know, if you go back to the base in our overall index, it was 2015, 2016, the last part of 2015, early part of 2016. And, you know, just to kind of jog everybody's memory, those were some challenging times, and especially crop agriculture. You know, we had the very strong period from about 2007 to 2013. 2014 was kind of a balancing point in terms of making a switch in direction. And then we got into 2015, 2016. Things were starting to look kind of tough for a lot of folks. And so when you fall below that baseline, that starts to show some negativity there. And so if you think about what's going on, I mean, this is something we've been kind of anticipating in some respects, but the timing was always going to be uncertain. You know, we're looking at softer commodity prices. We still have relatively high input costs. We've backed up, obviously, on fertilizer and fuel, but our other input costs have not backed up at all. So we're stuck with some relatively high input cost. And then on top of that one, you know, we've got interest rates going the wrong way from farmers' perspective. So that combination makes the future look kind of challenging. And the only good news here, really, I think from my perspective, is we're walking into this in a strong financial position. People are walking into this in the, on average, with very strong working capital, very current, very strong current ratios. That's going to help manage that downside going forward. So that's the good news, is we're coming into this in a strong position, but it's going to be challenging going forward, at least the way it looks today.
Yeah. You know, the Farm Capital Investment Index slid again, down 6 points compared to April, pushing it down to 37. That's the lowest reading since last November. I don't think that's any surprise, but then when you look at what's happening in the used machinery market, Jim, those two things are counterintuitive. Nobody wants to make the investment, yet they are.
Yeah, the two things going on there. First of all, I think that Farm Capital Investment Index, it turns out, I think what that is really measuring is whether or not you can get a good deal. People are saying, I can't get a good deal, therefore it's not a good time to make an investment. But that's not the same thing as saying I won't step out and do it. The other thing to think about here, this is especially true on the new equipment market. Our cutoff for people that we try and interview is an estimated gross farm income of $500,000 and up. And that's large enough that people are paying attention, that this is a significant portion of their family's income on an annual basis, but it's probably not the only source of income for those folks. If you think about the new equipment market in today's world, that's not a very large gross farm income. And I suspect that some of what we're picking up there is some folks looking at new equipment and saying, gee, I can't even possibly afford to step out and buy a new planter or a new combine at these prices. They are backing up, though, and bidding on used equipment and, you know, looking at some of the things that I think you've talked about with Machine Repeat in the past. Some of the strongest areas of that used equipment are some of the older equipment that's still in very good condition, which I think is reflective of that that income factor, meaning I'm out of the new equipment market. I am still eligible for the good used equipment market. And that's where we're seeing a lot of strength.
Man, that's good perspective, Jim. Thank you for that. Really good. Okay. Talk to me about the land price expectations going forward, short-term and long-term.
Yeah, so the short-term index did a little bit of what we thought it would do, and it's been in a down, or it's, I won't say downtrend, but it's been in a weakening trend for some time now. You know, if you go back to that short-term index, I think it topped out in 2021 at a reading of just about 160. A year ago, it was at 145. Last month, it was at 123. This month, it was down 13 points, down to 110. I think you and I talked about this last month. I think last month was a little bit of an aberration. Last month, the index actually went up, and that was kind of a surprise. This month, we're back to 110. That's a little weaker than we were 2 months ago, but it's not down dramatically, and that's probably the better comparison. So it is softer. And if you look at the raw responses to that question, and I think at this stage, it's interesting to look at that because that kind of shows you the trend a little more. 19% of the people in the survey said they expect to see farmland prices go down the next 12 months. That's up from 14% last month. A year ago, it was 9%. A couple of years ago, it was only 6%. So you can kind of see the change taking place there. And only 29% of the people in the survey expect to see higher farmland prices in the upcoming year.
Right.
That's down from 37 last month, 54 a year ago. And I think our all-time peak was about 64 or 65.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, people are worried about the short-term outlook. Longer term, it was up 3 points, which is really kind of a no change from a statistical perspective. That's not too surprising. Again, I think it just reflects the fact that people are very confident from a long-term perspective, farmland is still a good investment.
Exactly.
But short-term, we could see some pressure. And I think, you know, when we talk to the auctioneers, a lot of the auctioneers tell us that people are still walking into these auctions with very strong cash positions. Some of these auctions are still going for all cash. Again, is reflective of that strong working capital, and that's going to go away, but it's going to take a while, and that might be 2024 before that really goes away.
Okay. Okay, real quick. We've only got about a minute left here. I guess it's no surprise that most producers view crop insurance as the most important thing in the farm bill.
Yeah, that's consistent with what we picked up previously.
Yep.
Although I thought it was interesting, more people chose crop insurance this month than they did last month. Now, we're going to continue to ask that question and see how people play that out. But this month, it was 48% chose crop insurance. Last month, it was 40%. Commodity programs actually went down a little. They were 25% this month. 31% chose that last month. So that little trade-off is interesting. And then that follow-up, when we ask people what's going to happen with respect to, or what they think is going to happen with respect to Congress changing PLC reference prices, I think it's interesting that almost half, 45% of the people in the survey think Congress is going to boost those PLC prices. We'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, they're going to need some more money if they're going to get that done, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, could be difficult. Jim, always a fascinating conversation with you, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity. Look forward to next month.
Absolutely. Dr. Jim Minter, Director for Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture. All right, let's celebrate some pork week. Jennifer Shike is next here on AgriTalk.